warfare, but silence in the Lord's warfare as well. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, was that one okay? Or you? Oh. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are so blessed, Lord, that you've given us a heavenly language, a kingdom language. Glory be to God. Faith has its own language. We thank you for that, Lord God, that you spoke your word and created. You spoke your word and made everything perfect. Hallelujah. How are we doing with faith's language? Because that's the key for the use of the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I saw Sean walking in today and he had a smile plastered on his face. It's like he can't shake it. I mean, he's just, you know, I could have stepped on his foot and he'd still be smiling. And Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost simultaneously smile. They are so excited about us, so blessed. They are so blessed because of us. My son's coming today and playing a song for us. I am so blessed. I'm smiling already. I love him so much. He's 25 and I love him the same as when I saw him come out of the womb. It's phenomenal. Glory be to God. I have pictures on my desk of my children, and they just bless me so much to see the stage of development. And they learned my language. They learned Don and my language. They were subject to us in every way. In that case, forced to be subject to us because they were babes. And so they learned our language. They learned our perception of things. They learned how we operated together. And still today, working with Joel and homeschooling Joel and bringing him on the job sites and him learning from me, he still uses the same techniques. He speaks the same language. He has facial expressions that are like me. All my children have facial expressions. They say things that I say, and I'm like, man, I really have an influence on them. Timothy greets me like I greet people, and he does things the way I do them, and it's really a blessing, and it makes me proud and happy to see that, you know, take place. And Father God is looking for that. He loves that. And he loves when we worship him. He loves when we sit before him and when we subject ourselves to him. It's a choice to subject yourself to God, because you can't learn his language any other way unless you subject yourself to him. Unless you willingly subject yourself to him, drop everything that we think is important and subject ourselves to him, because he wants to plant and root in us his will and his ways to such a degree that it's automatic that we walk that way. Hallelujah. I didn't practice music, but I have musical abilities that I instilled into my children that I didn't even know I had. My father put a football and a baseball in my hand, and he worked with me, and I was good in sports. But really, I had musical abilities that I didn't even know. And I was able to teach Joel and Michael and my children, and Joel leads worship today because he was subject to my will for his life. Actually, it was God's will for his life coming through me. Because your son doesn't belong to you, Sean. He belongs to Jesus. You're a steward. You and your wife are a steward of his life to point him to be subject to God. And that's success. When you point your children to be subject to God. Hallelujah. Wives, don't point your husbands to be subject to God. It doesn't work that way. You could do it with your children. Hallelujah. I don't know why I walk over this way all the time. My mother said, why don't you walk that way? Why do you keep walking? When you're up here, you don't even think of what you're doing. I'll tell you the truth. Hallelujah. So when the baby comes out of the womb, how long does it take that child to be able to speak the language that their mother and father practice? That child is subject, unwillingly, to hear. Mom looks in the baby's eyes and continues to speak, continues to talk, continues to pronounce words so that baby can see and know how they sound. They tune in. They open up their hearts. They mom and dad are the focal point of their lives. They're their life source. And so it takes about almost a year before you can get words out of that child. Every day, subject to the voice of God through the parents, to the voice of the language that the parents speak, because the child is going to pick up on the language, on the phrases, on the positive words, on the negative words. You're framing that child's ability to comprehend and to will success. Takes about a year, day after day after day, to bring forth the words of your understanding and lifestyle. Well, in the same way, God needs pupils. He needs his children to be subjected to him. When we're born again, our spirit comes alive, and we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we can begin to absorb and understand and willfully subject ourselves to the Father by the Son through the Spirit, so that we can have a new language, so that we can have new ideals and new understanding and new motives and a new heartbeat and a new mindset. The blueprint of heaven coming through us to touch a lost, well, it's not a lost world, but it is a dying world. It's actually a found world, but people just don't know it. That's our job to tell them. So the Bible says that, I'm not even going to use these. I don't know why I have them. Sometimes you get a little nervous up here when it's just you and God and people are watching you. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So, faith having its own language, coming out of the invisible realm, through Jesus Christ who came to earth to show us the way, when he walked this earth, people thought he was out of his mind because he came with a whole different language, a whole different doctrine, a whole different way, a whole different lifestyle, a whole different relationship with the Father. Some either forced you to come after him or it forced you to repel from him because you didn't know which way to go with this guy. because he was so different. He was so unique. He was so divine in one way, but he was all man at the same time in another way. And he was just an inspiration for the strategies of heaven to come in human form and to show us the way. And so when we're born again, those are the informative years of learning the language of God, just like a baby when it comes out of the womb. Those are the informative years. The first 4 years are the most informative years of that child's life. So the parents have to be on top of their unity and their oneness and their single focusness on raising this children. It can't let the world system get in the way of their focus and his focus or the child's focus on the parents. You know, sometimes you might be a single mother and you do your best and you have to work and you have to put your child at different places, and I understand your pain and agony there. But ideally, husband and wife together to sow into that child's life is paramount in the first 4 years. And also, as a new believer, we need to encourage new believers to come to the assembly and to, in their informative years, for us to put our arm around them and teach them the ways of God. Through our experience with God, through our love for God, through our words, our new language, we have to teach them the new language, because it's very important that they get it, because the enemy's coming to steal. He's trying to steal. If a new believer isn't in the assembly and gets saved and feels good about it and goes back to the old ways of doing things, he doesn't learn, or she doesn't learn, the new language of operation in the kingdom. Let's look at Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews 11:3. Faith is a lot deeper, a lot more operational than just what Hebrews 11:1 talks about. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You really can't grasp faith by just reading that sentence without knowing the language of faith and knowing the origin of faith and knowing who we are in Christ. So verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So when we understand that faith comes from the unseen realm where Jesus is, where the Holy Ghost operates, when he framed the word, when the worlds were framed by the word of God, they were completely set in order, complete, lacking nothing, full, prepared, and complete. And that completeness of understanding the truth of how God operates is released into our hearts in the size of a mustard seed in order to accomplish great and mighty things. So how do we, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, look inside of ourselves to prepare our hearts and minds to be subject to the language of God? Because like I said before, that divine language gives us strategies from heaven, allows us to be at the right place at the right time for God to will his purpose in the earth and in people's lives now, immediately, and swiftly. He wants to grab people's attention. And so we stand under the release of God 24 hours a day. Now it's our job to subject ourselves so that automatically that takes place. And so if we wake up at 2 in the morning, there's a reason for that. It's not because of this or it's not because of that. It's because God is a now God and He wants us to stand in and be used to release something in somebody's life at that divine moment. So that every moment becomes important to God. It's just not, oh, I just woke up, I have to go to the bathroom or and then go back to sleep. No, it's okay. Check in with God first. Just be mindful of the things of God. But if you're not mindful of the things of God before you go to sleep, you're not going to be mindful of the things of God when you wake up and you're half asleep. That was pretty good. That came from God. There's no way I could think of that. That's like, whoa. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. Amen. So it's good, you know, the doctor said, you have something wrong because you wake up every two. No, don't listen to them. Believe me, don't listen to them. So, we're good. We're in a good place because Jesus finished the work. We are in a good place in life's system of perfection now when you're born again. Hallelujah. Learning a new language where heaven is open all the time. That's why Pastor Tony is on the move, because heaven is open all the time for the world to see and the world to hear. So he can't just drop being a husband and a father and a grandfather and a pastor. The thing that's going to be dropped the most is his business, because that's not as important to him as the rest of the things that are taking place in his life. And so he's on the go. He positions himself. His core strength is in the Holy Ghost. He's 68 years old. And he acts like a kid when he's in other nations, when he's around you. And he doesn't seem like he's 68 years old. Age doesn't have any bearing on any of us. And so you can't try to figure Pastor Tony out, because if you try to figure him out, you might get mad at him. Because he's like Jesus. He's not around, but he's always there. And you have to be able to not look at people. You have to be able to not look at your children get you upset. You have to be able to not look at your husband who can get you upset. You just have to look past the person and into the way Jesus sees things, into the way Jesus talks about things, about people, about understanding, and then demonstrate what he does through life's adversities. And that way you stay out of the snares and the snags of life that try to hold you down and keep us focused on the immediate and not on the eternal. And that comes with experience. That comes with subjecting yourself to God. Because there's a lot of things to complain about. There's a lot of things at work to complain about. There's a lot of things that go on that we can complain about. And what really does that do? Because we have to do the job anyway. So, I mean, what's the sense? Why even go through that wasted motion? Go ahead.
Everybody quitting and leaving, and it's just everybody's ramp.
Yeah.
So I was like, they said, well, you're always laughing. And then they wanted me to, I said, well, I'll try to not be into that. And they wanted me to complain, and I said, well, I vent it, I let it out, and I forget it.
Yeah.
So I said, that's the reason. Because they want me to write down what I said about such and such. said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what I said then, because I said, I let it out and then it's gone.
Yeah, you let it out. Sometimes, yes, yeah, sometimes, you know, we do that with God. Sometimes we don't want to let it out to people. But we want to let it out, yeah, to God. It's good to talk to a brother and sister and let it out and, you know, get a clean mind about it. Because the battle's in the mind. The readiness of the kingdom is in your mind. It's already set in your mind what you're going to do with what comes at you. It already has to be established. It already has to be a done deal in your belief system in order for things to be released according to God's ways and His will and how He does things. Let's look at Luke 5, please. Luke 5, 1 through 11. He has a different language. He has a different interaction with people, with the Father, with the Spirit, that doesn't take place in natural languages or natural relationships by the will of men, by the nature of men. And so let's just look at this for a minute. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now that didn't come out of his natural mind. That came out of the mind of the Father, out of the Spirit. And he saw that, and he spoke by faith what he saw, because he knew it was going to be done, because it came from his Father's heart. This isn't something that was haphazardly spoken. It was strategically spoken at the right time and at the right place for a miracle to take place, to grab the people's attention, to show them that Jesus was the Son of God. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. That was his natural response to a divine inspirational word. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't connect to it. And that was his response to it. But he said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So he responded in the right way. How many times do we respond to God and just shake off what he just spoke to us? His language has to be forefront and paramount in our lives, so that when he speaks, the wisdom of our understanding in him can grab a hold of it by faith and act upon it instantly, knowing that it's going to be an immediate contact point where heaven is going to be released into earth for whatever specific reason that God has in mind. Do you understand that? And when they had done this, when they obeyed him, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. In their natural ways of fishing, they caught nothing. In the supernatural obedience to God's will, they caught so much that both their boats were sinking. Heaven's language. Can we identify it? Can we pick it out? Can we receive it and act upon it immediately in order to get these kind of results? Because that's what God's looking for. He's always speaking. Don't think you're speaking to yourself, always, because you're not always speaking to yourself. learn the ways of God and the heart of God, and then you'll be able to tell right away when the devil's... No. Instantly get rid of that. Don't dwell on that. Don't allow that to grab any of your attention because it will confuse you. We're seated on the throne with Christ Jesus. So we have the power and the authority to do the will of God when He wills it to be done. And that's 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." He used their natural experience to bring them into a supernatural experience to catch men. Because you catch men the same way you catch fish in the spirit. The same principles you use. The same methods you use. And so we're learning the heart of God. We're learning the ways of God. We're learning the blueprint of how God operates to automatically be subject to Him so that we can learn His family's language, just like Sean Jr. is going to learn his family's language. Hallelujah. Readiness of mind. Mark 1, 15. Hallelujah. This requires immediate response on our part. That's what our new will is. It's not a will to be subject to this world and the motions of the world and the time frames of this world. It's to be have an immediate response to the voice of God. That will make us successful in the framework of the world that God has created. He framed it and made it ready for us to be in His will to change the atmosphere and the situations and the circumstances around us so that we can be salt of this earth. So that we can be salt of this earth. 15, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. Those are two simple commands even for today. Repent if you're lost. You don't have to understand everything. Jesus completed the work. He finished the work. Repent, which means turn around from what you've been doing and walk towards God and let Him take over your life and He'll do the rest. The gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. We are loosing nations because of the simplicity of the gospel. Families can be loosed. Marriages can be loosed from the simplicity of the gospel. Hallelujah, because the time has been fulfilled. Even from 2,000 years ago to now, the time has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And He walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, His brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed Him. Immediately. It takes faith. Your faith is the mechanics for immediate release of God's will in your every given situation and in the lives of others that need Jesus. They immediately left. They didn't ask permission. They didn't say, "Hey, wife, can I go? Children, I'm going." They immediately left. They dropped everything. You have to drop everything. All your devices, all your technology, all your stuff, all your girlfriends, all your boyfriends, immediately. If you have all that stuff in the way, you're not going to have immediate response, a belief system in Christ Jesus. That's our responsibility, to get ourselves in a position that we are in the readiness of mind in order for His mind to take over. Because our mind will block His mind. Our mind is the opposite of His mind in the natural realm. Peter tried to stop Jesus from doing the Father's will and says, "You don't need to do that, Jesus." And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing it, looked at him and said, "Your words are not the words of God. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus." Here's a dear brother that's following Jesus, that's doing the things of Jesus, that doesn't have the language of heaven yet. He's not even born again yet, but he's trying to figure all this out, and he doesn't have the language of God, and he comes in and tries to help God, and he's rebuked by Jesus because Satan is talking through him. How many times does that happen in our lives? And in the end times, the ones closest to us, because a prophet isn't welcome in his own home, could be the ones speaking and shooting arrows at you. So we have to, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing at that time. Every one of us are capable of doing that. Readiness of mind. They immediately left and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boats, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Immediately. Immediate response. Not allowing this to get in the way, but immediate response from the heart to be subject to God for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. Because in order to be his disciple, we really have to leave everything. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way, because when you have Jesus, you have everything. Then every relationship is made right. Then every situation in your life is made right. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about those things anymore because you belong to him now. Sean Jr. doesn't have to worry about where his next meal is going to come from, how he's going to get clean. "Oh, my hair doesn't look good today, Dad. I want it to look like yours." He doesn't have to worry about any. He's got everything taken care of. They will fight for his survival. Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, with the army of heaven is fighting. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, we'd be gone a long time ago. Fighting for our... We don't have to survive anymore because we're already victorious in Jesus Christ. We're not survivors. We're overcomers. You have to watch. See, I have heaven's language ticking in me right now. I almost went overboard and called us survivors when that's not true. So you have to be ready-minded so you don't talk that way. Because that could get you off track. That could get you off track for a couple hours. All of a sudden, you'll have a pity party because, "Oh, I'm a survivor now. How am I going to get through? Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? I got to go to work tomorrow. Oh, my God. Jeez." We're overcomers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, immediately, then they went to Capernaum. And immediately, on the Sabbath day, he entered the synagogue and taught. He couldn't wait to get in there and teach the ways of God when supposedly he wasn't supposed to go in there and do it, according to man, according to religion. He couldn't wait. Immediately he went in there. Immediately I woke up this morning and I couldn't wait to come in here. Immediately. I subjected myself to God. I was watching basketball yesterday and then Ninja Warrior was on and I'm like, "I like this show." And Jesus said, "Nope. check in with me. And I'm like, I'll get up in the morning early. Poof. I shut the TV off because I knew if I put off immediately what he wanted to show me, which immediately this message started during the week, but immediately last night from 10 o'clock to 11:30, it was compiled into the Word of God. So if I would have got up 6 in the morning, I was going to go see Joel at 8. Now I just messed up my time frame. I put God into my time frame of thinking. Eternity I tried to force into my 2-hour schedule. When I thought of that, I said, I have to be out of my mind. Yeah. This is a lot of responsibility that the body of Christ has in this earth. This is not just a walk through the park. Hallelujah. You have to... Let's go on. Let God speak it. Let's move on here. And then, okay, they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Can you imagine teaching for hours and your words don't even move one heart in the whole place? But when Jesus taught, because he had the language of heaven, faith's language that automatically operates in authority because we're seated in heavenly places on the throne with Christ. So that's a position of authority. The biggest position of authority in the whole world that we have right from this pulpit, right from our rivers of living water that come out of our lives into every given situation. I have to use it constantly during the week, because if I fall subject to the failures and the craftsmanship of other people and get aggravated at what's taken place and how that we have to bring a solution to the problem, I'm going to be walking backwards and forwards and not get anything done. So I constantly have to speak into existence the will of God and the heart of how Pastor Tony wants his business to serve others. It is an easy thing. You can't do it in the natural realm. Len can't do it in the natural realm. He has to do it in the spirit. He has to see past the problems and solutions and face language speaking through him and speaking through us. Now, there was a man in their synagogue who with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." He didn't make it. He just said, "Be quiet and come out of him." He didn't even say thank you. Be quiet and come out of him. He knew who he was. He's speaking heaven's language. He's not chasing after devils. Devils are manifesting because Jesus is in the place. When they manifest, you cast them out. Don't look for devils under every rock. Hallelujah. That's nice. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. So then they were all amazed. Wow. They've been listening to the scribes for hundreds of years, and the devil never manifested himself because he was hiding in their language. He was comfortable in their language. But as soon as Jesus spoke, whoa, 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 the light shining now, I can't hide anymore. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? What new language is this? Where is this?" Doctrine is language. Either it's coming from the devil or it's coming from God. There's no gray zone in there. The devil's slick at mixing truth and non-truth together to get you confused. But this new doctrine is a new language, for with authority he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Whoa. That's what we do in the around the world. The pastors come in. I've seen pastors jump on people and start punching the devil that's in the person, drag them down to the ground. They're dirty. They're in white shirts and ties, and they're wrestling this lady on the ground, trying to get the devil cast out because they're embarrassed because we're here and they have devils in their church. Right, Harv? So we go over there. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, well, just wait a minute. Be still in Jesus' name. Stops. She gets up in her right mind, sits back down, and they come up to us afterwards. What did you say to that person? Be still. The less you say, the more faith you have. If you have to mix your faith with a bunch of words in order for you to believe it, then your faith isn't immediate. You're not getting an immediate mandate and instruction for God for that specific moment. And that's what I'm learning. The less I have to say, Jesus didn't say, be quiet and come out of him. He believed. He knew who he was. He knew when his word spoke that he was going to get results. He didn't have to come up with a bunch of words, and shake the person and smack him around and, you know, cast out a devil. Hallelujah. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region of Galilee. Immediately, new language, new belief system was being unleashed, new faith, new operational ability in the ways of God and in the power of God and in the demonstration of God. Because if you're preaching the Word of God and you can't demonstrate the power of God to back up what you're preaching, then we have to be transformed in our belief system. Hallelujah. Belief system. This is what God gave me last night about the belief system and faith. I wrote it down because I wouldn't have remembered it. The belief system of faith has to be root determined in our hearts and minds. That means it has to already be previously developed and experienced and root determined so that it is so much of who we are when we speak that fruit comes forth, because a tree is known by its fruit. So that comes forth, not even passing through your mind, but passing through the will of God out of your spirit, from your belief system, out of your mouth, into the very given situation, which is very powerful and very direct in the heart of God, the readiness of mind to be able to think the way God would think at every given moment. Is that possible? Yes. It's up to us. We are the medium for that to happen. The soil for that to happen in our lives, depending on what we subject ourselves to. It's very hard for me to get my children subject to God because they're distracted. They're just distracted. Hannah went to get, she said, Daddy, I want to get spicy avocado dip and these special chips because I just am craving them right now. I said, go ahead, go get them. Okay, she ran out. She left her phone on the table. So I hit it, of course. And she came back and I said, did you forget anything? Yeah, I forgot my phone, Daddy. I realized it right when I started up the car. But she was so hungry that she put that in front of the phone, which came second to the phone. That blows my mind. So I had her little phone covered in these gummy bears that I got for myself, organic gummy bears. I just felt like getting them. And so, you know, I was messing with her, and she kind of got all bent out of shape about it. The readiness of mine wasn't on God. It was on that silly phone. Hallelujah. I hope that's not how you are, Haley, over there. Hallelujah. So immediately the fame spread around Galilee. Let's look at 42 here. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed immediately. Because in verse 41, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus is always willing. He's always compassionate. So when the belief system of faith has been root determined in our hearts and minds, for the language of God to immediately manifest, then the Spirit of God's power is released through us, because his divine language can create that which is from heaven. He let me look into faith. He got me on the other side of what I didn't understand. Because when you read Hebrews 11:1, that doesn't explain faith enough for a believer unless you know the language of God, unless you're subject to God, because God is deep. He's eternal, spirit, deep, multifaceted, multi-occupational ability. He just is so, it's mind-boggling. So immediately the leprosy left him. Why? Why did it just leave? Did Jesus believe that much? He knew that much. He immediately got into that synagogue because he knew these things God was going to give him to work with. He couldn't wait to get in there. Isn't it great when you cast out devils and get people saved and do the things of God? This is the most fun thing I've ever done in my life, is being up here learning the ways of God and sharing them with you so we can all learn together, all be together. Do you have to go through a lot of things? Yes. Does it cost you everything? Yes. Yes, it does. But that's who we are. That's what we do. That's the new language that we're involved in, a new world that we are born out of now, is occupational in our lives and is too valuable to keep just inside and not let everybody know. It's too valuable. It's too valuable. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4. New doctrine, new language, new blueprint, new inspired strategies from God. Hallelujah. That's how we become victorious. That's how we operate in the mighty works of God. That's how we can take the mundane and make it electric in the Spirit, by us being present there and us seeing what's coming out of the will of God for that specific moment. Proverbs 4, 1. Proverbs 4, 1. This is Sean talking to Sean Jr. right here. Hear my children, hear my child, the instruction of a father. And give attention to no understanding. Now, you know, Sean just stepped into a whole new world of responsibility. And so I believe that there has to be adjustments made in order for Sean to be subject to God in such a way that he could minister the word of God to his wife and his child simultaneously, where they learn the kingdom language. That's a big responsibility. So whatever has to move out of the way in order for that to happen has to move out of the way by your will in God. You don't mind if I talk to you like that, right? Thank you. I love you. That's why I'm talking to you that way. Hear my children, instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give good doctrine. I give a good language. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Let your heart retain my language. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding! Exclamation point. How do you get that? Subject yourself to the Spirit of God. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom and led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Thank you, God. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they made someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. These are words of health that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Perfect day. In Christ Jesus, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. We don't have to experience that and walk in that. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Subject yourself on a consistent basis, because the Holy Spirit speaks whenever he desires, not when we make time for him in our prayer closet. Only. He's constantly speaking in situations and in circumstances so that we could turn them around with our belief system of knowledge and understanding and the language of the kingdom. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life and those who find them. I have to throw in here the words of God in your cell phone on a consistent basis, since you spend a lot of time in that thing. Sorry about that. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I guarantee you, if I'm preaching, I will offend you in one way or another sometime in the message. Not trying to, but that's, you know. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Then you don't have to pick the wrong boyfriend. Then you don't have to pick the wrong girlfriend. Let God pick them out for you. Ponder on the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Walk in God's steps, in his understanding, in his language, in his way of doing things. Then, you know, sometimes the devil wears lipstick. And you don't know. It looks good from the outside. But you don't know where that's going to take you down the road when you lose focus on. Because, you know, there's... Please, I've done it before, I know. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Your feet, if they're walking on the wrong paths, 9 times out of 10 will leave you to evil. And then all of a sudden, I should have listened. I should have listened to my daddy. He told me, if I do this, this is going to happen. Right, big eyes? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mark 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to go through some of the Gospels to learn from Jesus. Is that okay? Since we're a tight-knit family today. Yeah, you're part of God's family there. Hallelujah. Mark 2. I really enjoyed going through this week. It really helped me. Jesus usually demonstrated the power and authority, and once he exampled it to the disciples, then he taught them so that they had an understanding of what he was talking about, because his language was coming from another world and it was hard for them to put it together. And that's how we can teach the Word of God. Faith has an authority language. It cuts through all the what ifs and buts and this and that and that and this, and it just comes directly to the point of contact with the will of God. And because of your faith, and maybe the person's faith, or they don't even have to have the faith, things can happen immediately, or they're in the process of happening to completion when it's God's will. So we win automatically, like Pastor Tony teaches us. Just because you didn't see something happen right away, don't come off of your faith position. Stay in your faith position, because I've been in a faith position for 15 years now. Believing, every time it comes to my mind, it's done in Jesus' name. I don't even have to go back to the old prayer and pray it over anymore. It's already done and established in Him. It's a quick, immediate response, because sometimes the devil reminds you to make you try to doubt or wander from the foundation of your faith. So anything immediate that shuts him up lets him know that you know who you are in Christ. But if you mull over it and run it through your mind and call up your girlfriend or do, what should I, and the devil knows, look at this one. Pour it on her, man. Immediate response, no, in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Shut up and get out in Jesus' name. It's okay to say shut up. Hallelujah. Just don't say it to your wife, because I paid for that. I used to work with this guy, and we used to say to each other all day long, shut up, because we were busting each other's chops. Shut up. And then my wife got on my case, and it came out, shut up. I never said it to her in my life. The devil set me up for that one. Hallelujah. My mind wasn't ready. The readiness of mind. I learned from my mistakes. Hallelujah. Mark 2:5. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. They didn't have ready minds. They weren't born again. They were religious in their ways. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? This is a different language. What's he doing? Who can forgive sins but God alone? We can. We can forgive sins of others in Jesus' name. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, 1, 2, 3, 4. Arise, 5, take up your bed, 6, 7, 8, and go to your house, 8, 9, 10, 11. Immediately. These are words of faith, words of the kingdom language, words of authority. The natural realm cannot hold back the words of authority in Jesus' name. Because everything that we see was created out of his realm. The woman was created out of the husband. Same principle, same authority structure. Same way of looking at things. You can't look at them any other way, because the result will be failure if you do. You cannot reason like the scribes and the Pharisees reasoned. You believe and you follow him, and immediately they went. Immediate. It has to be immediate. The language of God has to respond immediately. It can't go through the human mind and be reasoned and then grabbed a hold of, because it's too far gone then. Because he meant it for that time and in that place and in that instant. Mindful readiness. That's what God is speaking to the church today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out of the presence of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Hallelujah. Different realm. It's set up in the rule of authority, the spiritual realm. It is set up in the rule of authority. The family unit is set up in the rule of authority. And when people start individualizing things and thinking they have rights and start reasoning things out and listening to this one and listening to that one and come out of the rule of authority in the spirit, that's when all confusion and things go haywire. That's what the devil's after. Breaking the rule of authority. The wife doesn't belong to herself, and the husband doesn't belong to himself. It's a rule of authority in Jesus' name. Not for you to make your own decisions, not for you to question things, not for you to look at faults, because looking at faults deflates your ability to be mindful ready and in faith. When you're looking at faults, you're looking at the wrong world. Jesus doesn't see faults. He sees perfection. He sees the world already saved through him. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Authority demands immediate results in the spirit. That's what happens to police officers when they don't understand authority and they want instant results by somebody listening to them instantly, and they don't listen. They pull their gun and shoot, sometimes out of harmony with love. Because they don't understand authority. Authority isn't meant to usurp. Authority is meant to lead. Hallelujah. So we pray for those situations in our nation that the Spirit of God will come and overtake them and bring peace to ethnic groups in our nation, and our justice system would line up with the justice system of God. And if a police officer has to lose his life in the will of his duty for the betterment of society, then he needs to be trained that, and I pray they would receive that in the name of Jesus, and they would not be fearful, because fear is the enemy of faith. So we thank you, Father God, for rearranging, determining and revamping our justice system in Jesus' name, because there's a lot of holes in it. We plug them up with the will of God in Jesus' name. The mighty works of God come out of the wisdom of faith. Hallelujah. Release your wisdom of faith in this place today, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at 3, 1 through 6. We're coming to the close of this, but I want to get the full picture. Is that all right? Thank you, Jesus. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand, so they watched him closely. They were watching things. They were wondering what was going to go on, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, because this was against their rules of man. God's bringing the rules of the kingdom in, and they're standing by the rules of man. There's a big confrontation here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Step forward. Man, that's a faith. Stepping forward is a faith terminology language system. Who needs healing? Step forward in this room today. Step forward. So he said, step forward. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. Another faith word that compels the man to come forward, to raise up faith in him. Come, step forward. Stretch out your hand towards him, towards the source of life. And he stretched out his hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Step forward into his will. Move forward into his language of faith. Earnestly desire this new transformation. Earnestly desire with the readiness of mind in order to see God's will be manifest. Because when you see God's will manifest in a consistent basis, he makes a believer out of you. You don't go back to the old ways of doing things, calling all the professionals of the world to come to your aid. And if you have deep pockets, you're going to pay. If you don't have deep pockets, you're still going to pay. This world system is not designed to help you. It's designed to deflate your faith. I want to tell you something right now. When you walk into the doctor's office, does he say, step forward, I want to heal you. By faith this time, not by the knife. I want to do it a different way today. No, he doesn't. He tries to find something wrong with you, make you buy into the system of wrongness, introvertedness, worriness, fearfulness, doubtfulness, thinking there's something wrong with you when we've already been healed. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to stop the man from going forward with their attitudes, and he felt it, and Jesus was angry. So he called him out, and he was healed instantly because the Son of God was in the house. Hallelujah. 3:21, the Son of God is in this house. Hallelujah. And he said, verse 21, he said here that the lamp is to be put under a basket or under a bed. No, 3:21, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong area. Is there 3:21? Yeah, there is. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said he was out of his mind. Different mindset, different language, different faith motives, different doctrine. You better look like you're out of your mind to the world. I've had a lot of people say I'm out of my mind, and I was giving them good advice. They would have took it. They wouldn't have got into the situation that we're in. You can't understand God's will out of your natural mind. It has to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. Your natural mind will cause you to hesitate and reason it out and not step forward when God's saying, don't try to figure it out, just step forward because here I am. Just step forward. Leave the results up to me. Don't try to figure all this stuff out. Leave the results up to me. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Oh, let's go back. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, And by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. That's what they believed. That's what their faith brought them to say. That's what their language had to say. How is their language compared to Jesus' language? Complete opposite, right? How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. He has an end. So going down a ways, but he answered them on 33 saying, who is my mother and who is my brother? And he looked around in the circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and here are my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Different understanding, different way of looking at things. 4:11. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Different language. To know the kingdom of the mystery of God. But to those who are outside, all things come to parables. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and afterwards when the tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble because they have no root in them. Faith, God's looking for the soil of our heart to receive the root of his faith to such a degree that we will not see problems, but solutions to problems. Solutions to problems. That's why God has us where we are. That's why God has us around people that we're around. That's why God puts us in job positions that he puts us in. That's why God does what he does, because we see productivity and we see the positive aspects of the kingdom and can now take the anchor of defects and disorder and bring it into the order of God through our words and actions in Jesus' name. Words of the kingdom. They have to be rooted in the kingdom. You don't have roots of the kingdom unless your heart is subject to God. Unless you allow your spirit to be filled with the knowledge and wisdom of God. So it overrules and overrides your natural way of thinking. And you can stand firmly and not be respond to distraction around you. You don't have to respond. You could sit there and be quiet and go to God and the root of who you are in him and come out with solutions and answers before you even open up your mouth. That's how fast God can do it. Amen? So husbands and wives don't really have to get into arguments. You can have differences and be kind to one another and work them out instead of squashing each other. I know that game. You don't have to go there. Everything's already worked out. If both of our roots are in Christ Jesus and in his kingdom, and sometimes that's not the case, but if that's not the case, then we should be mature enough, those who are, to be able not to react to diverse situations or to foolishness. We have to cross over to the other side, 4:35. I'm almost finished, 4:35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. He didn't give them a whole bunch of stuff to think about. What was over there, how long it was going to take to get there, what you might face when we get there. He just said, let us cross over to the other side. Bam. What'd they do with that? What'd they do with that? You know what they do with that? No, I'm going to tell you what they do with that. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. He already knew that he was going to get to the other side. He went to sleep. What did he have to worry about? The word, the King of Heaven spoke the will of God into their situation, and he went to sleep banking on it. Banking on it. He didn't worry about it. He didn't speak anything negative about it. He left them with the reality of the kingdom. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was ready, was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he rose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to him, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Fear is the enemy of faith. It's the enemy of faith. Faith has made you well. That's what he said to the next one he healed. Faith has made you well. Faith has made you well. Five words. Faith has made you well. Hallelujah. He came in verse 39. I just want to read this. It's important. 39 through 42, verse 5. When he came in to heal this girl, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 words. How long would it take us to explain that? Well, listen, she might look dead, but she's not dead because my Father from heaven is telling you right now through me by his Spirit that she's just sleeping. So what are you doing this for? That's 30 words. So, and they ridiculed him. Natural man, doubtful understanding, no belief. But when he had put them outside, he had to take the doubt and remove it from the house and put it outside so he can go in and do what he had to do. They ridiculed him, but when he had put them out of the outside, when he put doubt outside, when he put fear outside, when he put ridicule outside, when he put unbelief outside, when he put a hardened heart and fault finding outside, because they're enemies of faith, he took the child by the hand and said to her, which is translated, I'm not going to pronounce that, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Little girl, see, Jesus healed that little girl. Everyone said she was dead. Jesus said she wasn't dead. He grabbed her by the hand, said, "Arise," and she was healed instantly, immediately. Authority in faith in Christ Jesus, in the presence of God, demands an immediate response because the natural realm cannot hold back the glory of God. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that we don't have to live by the traditions of religion, making the word of God of no effect. We thank you that we don't have to pray in front of people many long prayers and words that really are just trying to build us up and not bring you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fault find anymore. I release into this assembly and into every assembly in this world the ability for husband and wives not to fault find in Jesus' name. I'll make it a little shorter. Marriages, no fault finding. That's better. Now, that's more faith in that. I asked whoever wanted healing to come forward before. I don't know if you understood what God was doing there before. I wanted to demonstrate it before I taught on it. Does anyone need healing in here today? Come forward. Don't reason it out. You don't have to raise your hand to ask permission. You just move forward and It's done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't have to know what it is. We don't have to know anything. He did it already. It's finished for you. Amen. She responded. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to position ourselves into such a place for this time, for you to release your power and your authority in every given situation of our lives. We thank you for that. And we thank you for doing that right now in Tanzania, Father God. That Pastor Tony and Melody and Witt would have such an outpouring and overflowing of your spirit that their jaw would drop and they won't even have to speak one word in the name of Jesus. I could see it. Can you see that picture? I could see that picture. Can you see Pastor Tony there? Just happier than can be. My son's supposed to come here and play a song. Can you see if he's coming? You have his number?
Oh, you know what? Since we got a second. You know how it said, I just got off there, when it talks about the girl, like young damsel, arise, I heard, you know how he says the few words before? I thought that was him speaking in tongues two times, but I don't know if it is.
No, that's a language that he was using.
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
I don't know. I heard that was that, and then the other time with Lazarus.
Talita Kumai or something?
Yeah. But maybe it's just
that's,
yeah.
You know.
It wasn't Hebrew or Greek.
I don't know. Only two words there.
Yeah.
He narrowed it down. That was more faith than that. Aramaic?
I was wondering if it was in that Bible.
Thank you, Jesus. So we're learning to keep our mouth shut. To communicate through faith. Few words by faith can accomplish much more through human reasoning. So we're learning that. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you. Let's look at Mark 8 real quick before Joel gets here. I know when he tells me he's going to be here, he's going to be here. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He was giving them the language of heaven. This is what's going to happen. I'm letting you know from my Father's perspective why he sent me here and what I'm going to do. That's the language from heaven. That's a blueprint from heaven right there. He's trying to share with his disciples. And he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Human understanding, out of the will of God completely, rebukes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and tries to tell him what he thinks about the situation. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me." Let him deny his human reasoning. Deny it, and take up your cross and follow me. Put your old ways on the cross, take it up, get on it, stay on it, and come out from underneath that and use my language. Use my skill, which gives you the power to have faith in me to guard against fear, doubt, and unbelief. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Kingdom words. I understand that perfectly clear at this point in my Christian walk, where before I didn't understand. But now I understand. So we release that understanding. We thank you for that understanding, Lord. Glory be to God. Yes, ma'am. You're already, yeah. Right.
So that martyrdom is pretty much the word for the whole church, really.
Amen. Amen. So we thank you for your light in this place today, Lord, that we're going to use your light, have mindful readiness in your language and the way you operate, have your operational skills, remove from us that part of us that uses the word of God with no effect. And we command you to get behind us, Satan, in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. This message was for you today. Amen. Right.
That we had the authority.
Amen.
We had the police academy to take authority over that. And on my way over to her, I grabbed Casey and I said, Casey, and he looked, and when he saw, he and I went over there, and he stood beside her and got down on his knees, like, and he said, in the name of Jesus, be still, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
I mean, five men were carrying her in.
He whispered it to her, yeah.
Yeah, she
amen.
Probably didn't weigh 100 pounds, but she was tearing them up. And when he did that, one of the guys tried to cover her up and manipulate her while he was doing that. And he just about got his nose bit off because she started up and they touched her because...
Yeah. Right.
Don't let anybody touch you.
Because I
was there then, you know, using my authority to keep people from touching.
Right.
I mean, it was like not even 30 seconds.
Right.
She was back. 2 hours later, I looked out the little parsonage that we were staying in, the little house next door to the conference center. She was out eating watermelon with all the other youth there.
Yeah.
Laughing and
like nothing even, yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, she was totally free. That was my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. Amen.
Period.
Thank you, Lord.
Just authority demonstrated.
Yes.
Awesome.
Amen.
When Jesus got baptized, I realized that he went immediately in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He was totally equipped by his Father on how to deal with the enemy before he started his earthly ministry.
Right.
And that's a powerful teaching for all of us. So he was
Amen. That's right. We're going to face everything that Jesus faced. But he overcame for us to overcome. So none of that should hold us back. And maybe today, some of you, maybe one of you, maybe a handful, has been struggling with your will and wanting to give it all up for Jesus, but there's a hesitation there and a worry about what's going to happen. What's going to happen to my health? What's going to happen to my finances? How am I going to juggle all this? But today God is calling you forward and saying, you come after me and I will take care of the rest. So if God spoke to you today and you're wanting to make that transition, but you're hesitating and you don't know what to do and it's tormenting you, come on up here. Please come on up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No hesitation. Thank you, Lord. We bless her, Lord. She's at a threshold of your will for her life, new in Christ Jesus. Full of you, full of light, full of reward, full of you. We thank you for her stepping forward, Lord God, and we bless her. We are with her and you are for her in Jesus' name. Complete peace. Complete breakthrough and break away from the old into the new. In Jesus' name. She's ready. He said, you're ready. You're... She's ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way here, Lord God. Anybody else? I know you hesitated, but I'll give you another chance. I've hesitated a lot of times by God's grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's doing all right.
She's fine.
I'd like to share a little story. Absolutely.